We are continuing in the Beatitudes, and today the third of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Friedrich Nietzsche is a man who was most famous for his statement, God is dead. And yet after that, I think he's probably known for his Uberman or his Superman concept. And by an Uberman or a Superman, I think that Nietzsche met somebody who was exactly opposite of what Jesus calls meek. Nietzsche hated meekness. He hated righteousness or thinking you had to be under a law. His Uberman was the man who broke laws, who did what was wrong and felt no qualms of conscience. He would be the one who would destroy the meek man, knock him down, spit on him. That was the Uberman, the strong man, the young man who had power and would step on somebody else. Nietzsche inspired Adolf Hitler. And Hitler saw Jews and Christians and other people as weak, and so he took the Nietzsche method and pounded on them. Meekness is the opposite of that. And true spiritual meekness is not only opposite of that, but it's also opposite of what we each have in our nature, some of that fighting against God and His law and all that. And so it's not only true of people like Nietzsche that's not meek, but it's true of all of us before we're Christians. Meekness, and this is my first point though, meekness is appropriate for the poor in spirit and those who are mourning over sin. If we see ourselves as sinners, if we're poor in spirit, if we know that we deserve hell and nothing good that we have in this life, then we will be meek. It just fits. It goes with this. If we realize we're spiritually bankrupt and due God's judgment and hell's fire for our sins. And that's what being poor in spirit and mourning over your sins equates to. It means we're on the bottom. It means we are losing. And so when we're in that position, we can only look up. And everything somebody does kind to us is a good thing, and it's a precious thing. And the meek person, or the person who's poor in spirit and who is mourning over sins, should tend to be meek. Additionally, if you have the kingdom of heaven and you have the comfort of salvation, those promises of the things of God that are promised to those who are poor in spirit and those who mourn over their sins, then you would obviously be meek toward the earth. Why? Because you have something extremely much better. You're the kissed frog who has the princess. You don't need to eat the flies anymore. You have something better. And so, better than I deserve. Dr. Gross would always say this. You ask him how he's doing, and he'd say, better than I deserve. And that is the proper response for the meek person who's both poor in spirit and knows that he's a sinner. And so it's appropriate for the poor in spirit and the mourning over sin person to be meek. And yet, point number two, well, it's appropriate for those who are poor in spirit and mourning over sin. It is not automatic. Just because we're saved, just because we start on the way of being poor in spirit, and because we are starting to mourn over our sin, doesn't mean we're automatically meek. And you could ask, well, Pastor, what is Meekness, what's the definition? Well, some from the Greek lexicon, praus is the Greek word, and it's, according to Lowe and Nida, the Greek lexicon, it says, to be gentle and mild, mild, gentle, meek. And he quotes Jesus, who says, and learn from me, for I am meek, or I am gentle. And it's interesting, the word translated meek in Scripture is sometimes translated gentle, and let your gentleness be known to all in Philippians. And sometimes it's translated meek, and sometimes it's translated humble, or these other ways. And so it's a complex word. It's something that we don't have an exact English word that corresponds to it. Another, Artin Danker, said not being overly impressed by a sense of someone's self-importance, meaning you're not thinking you're the greatest in the world, the meek person. Gentle, humble, considerate, meek. Meekness has been called, I've heard many preachers preach this, I've even preached it myself, meekness has been called strength under control. And the reason the preachers say this is because the meek man isn't always what we think as meek. A meek man can be very bold and strong. I imagine when Jesus was preaching, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he wasn't whispering. I doubt he whispered when he preached at all, and yet he was meek. The well-trained horse is meek. We call them meek. A bucking bronco that throws off every rider is the opposite of meek. And so which horse do you want? Well, if you're a crazy person, maybe you want to be bucked off constantly. But if you want a horse that you could ride and go anywhere with, that moves easily to the right or left and turns, and maybe you even have a racehorse, you want a meek horse. And we are to be meek, meaning we're under God's control. We're doing what He wants us to do. We're not fighting God. The child who is constantly throwing tantrums, the strong-willed child, James Dobson always talked about the strong-willed child, that child that is always fighting you, that child is not meek. The meek child is the obedient child. Meekness in the moral, spiritual realm in relation to God is connected to obedience, even happy obedience, and not only obedience, but also to submission. The meek person submits to the will of God. And there's two different kinds of wills. There's God's prescriptive will that we have in His commands. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the meek person aims to keep all those commands. But not only that, there's God's secret will. God's prescriptive will is this one that we follow. And that's His prescription will, prescriptive will, that's like a prescription. And then there is His secret will, is, you could say, it's this will that we fall into. Every day, the will of God happens to us. And so it says in Scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so when Betsy Tembaum tells, now I'm not thinking of the other Tembaum's name, tells her sister, this is what happens when you preach. Corey, yes. When Betsy, thank you. When Betsy tells Corey, we need to thank God for the lice, Betsy's being meek. When Corey says, no, I'm not going to pray for the lice, or thank God for the lice, she's not being meek. There we see that. And when we go and we are suffering, even from some terrible disease, and instead of complaining and yelling and screaming about something we can't change, we quietly pray to God and maybe even thank God that we're going to heaven early, which I've seen people do. I've witnessed that meek person who rejoices even through cancer. That's meekness. Meekness is also, as I said, connected to submission and going through these pains. And Psalm 131, verse 2, David shows this meekness. He says, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Like a weaned child. He wanted mother's breast. He's just been weaned, and now he's learning to accept that fact. And sometimes meekness is shown in how we handle our disappointments. Maybe it's not some pain that comes upon us, but maybe it's some grace and some blessing that's suddenly taken away from us. The meekness must be heart meekness. A person can be outwardly meek, but in his heart, he could be battling with God about a disappointment, about a cross providence. I think for me, for myself, this is a lot of the time I was as a child, before I was even a Christian, I was very shy and quiet, and I seemed a meek person naturally. But definitely before I was a Christian, and even sometimes after, I knew I was fighting with God. There were things I wanted and I didn't have, and inside me. And I was not meek in the slightest, even though I might have seemed meek on the outside. And it's many years of learning to be meek, developing this. And this is why I say meek is not automatic. It's appropriate for the person who's poor in spirit, who's down. It's appropriate for the person who knows he is sinning and mourning over his sin. But oftentimes, even as Christians, we battle against God. Maybe not outwardly. Outwardly, we're all blessing and praising God. But inwardly, sometimes we fight with him. It's a gradual attainment, and also it is a fruit of the Spirit. Notice it says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness." But notice the old King James that said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness." And notice, they changed goodness in the New King James from gentleness in the old, and gentleness is meekness. Well, that word that's translated meekness in verse 23 is the same word, pros, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." And it can be translated in a variety of ways. It can be gentle, it can be meek or humble, and it's talking about that person who is submitting to God's will, not only with their head and their body, but even in their heart, inside, in their quiet time. God uses the rough and the tumble of life, his providence, the trials he brings into our life, just like the rider of a bucking bronco uses his skill to get that horse under control. And so God brings things in our life, maybe things we don't really like, but he brings them in so that we become more Christ-like. That's why it says, "My brethren," James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing." God brings things into our lives to humble us, to make us meek. It says, this poem by Edith Lillian Young, I've read it before, but it's appropriate here. "Disappointment, his appointment, change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning open to his wisdom lies. Disappointment, his appointment, whose? The Lord, who loves me best, understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parent, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment, no good thing will he withhold. From denials off we gather treasures of his love untold. While we know each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to his touch. All my life's plan in thy molding, not one single choice be mine. Let me answer unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine. When Christ suffered at Gethsemane and he said the last words of that poem, Father, not my will, but thy will, even as he's going to the cross, be done, he was showing us an example of meekness. Not having his own way, but doing what God wanted him to do. Thirdly, what makes meekness valuable? The saying of an ungodly world is, nice guys finish last. Winning requires toughness, even ruthlessness. I believe that nice guys finish last was attributed to Leo Durocher. I think he was the Cubs manager who was always kicking up the dirt, and he definitely was not a nice guy, meek guy. Just recently, I saw the trailer for a movie that's coming on, and I just happened to notice that Will Smith is in this, and the movie is called Bad Boys for Life. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying I just happened to notice it. And there's a song that was on a TV show, Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? That was the song that was on a TV show many years ago, and real police were catching the bad guys. Well, here it seems like from the movie that the bad guys, the really bad guys, are the cops. They're the bad guys who are the good guys. And one of the policemen says in the trailer, he says, I don't want to be a bad guy. I want to be a good man. And Will Smith makes fun of him. His character does. And he says, well, how could you sing that? Good men, what you gonna do? Good men don't. The idea is, good men really don't do much. They're the meek men, the good men. It's the bad boys that are ahead. And the meek men, they get run over. And that's the idea. If you saw the thing I saw, the trailer, you'd see it. Nice guys finish last. Meekness, though, how is it valuable? Well, meekness makes us useful to God and his kingdom. It's interesting. Numbers 12:3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were on the face of the earth. At least during his time, I could say Jesus was probably meeker, at least in the quality of meekness that's required. But Moses, it says, was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. Well, why was Moses so meek? Well, one thing we know about Moses is that he had problems talking. If I were to ask Moses, if he were alive today, Moses, come up, we want you to speak. He'd say, no way. he would not want to do that. Now, if God told him to, somehow he'd get up here and start stuttering to all of us. But that was the kind of person he was. It says in Exodus 4:10, God is calling Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And it says, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. That's who Moses was. He had trouble speaking. And God told him, I'll be with you. You'll be able to do miracles. And he showed him a couple miracle examples. And still Moses said, no, no, no. And finally, God had to send Aaron with Moses to be Moses' mouth, because Moses just couldn't do it. Meekness and humility and teachability are all closely related. In the King James Version again, it says in Psalm 25:9, The meek will he guide in justice, and the meek he will teach his way. In the New King James, it's the humble he will guide in justice, and the humble he will teach his way. George Hearn says about that verse 9 in Psalm 25, the meek, he says, pride and anger have no place in the school of Christ. The master himself is meek and lowly of heart, much more. Surely ought the scholars to be so. He who has no sense of his ignorance can have no desire or capability of knowledge, human or divine. You know, this funny thing came to mind while I was just reading this. I was in at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School studying to be a pastor, and we had a Greek class. And I was in this Greek class, and my roommate at the time, Tony Foresto, was in the class at the same time. And Dr. Carson was known as, you know, the top Greek teacher anywhere. He knew all the accents in the Greek language. One time he taught us the Greek word for ribbit, you know, the sound that frogs make, ribbit. I don't remember what the Greek word was, but he taught us that. He taught us all these little things. But near the beginning of the class, before we, you know, like 2 or 3 days into it, he kept calling Tony Foresto instead of Foresto. And after about 3 days of being called Foresto, Tony meekly raised his hand. And so Dr. Carson says, Mr. Foresto, what do you want? And he says, it's Foresto. And he says, but I've been shy to challenge you because you're the one that knows all these things. So meekness is, though, a teachability, a humility in regard to God and what he teaches us. Meekness and humility on our part means God receives the glory. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29, it says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the things that are wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and God and the base things of this world, and the things that are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I heard this passage quoted once by Joni Erickson Tada. Some of you know who she is. She's the lady who, as a teenager, she jumped into a lake. And the lake wasn't as, she dived into it is a better way to say it. The lake wasn't as deep as she thought. And she came up paralyzed, and she's been paralyzed ever since. And she paints now with, she paints with her mouth, and she's written many books, and she's a speaker. And God has used her to reach many, many people because he's given her this great talent of painting with her mouth and communicating the gospel. And she once said about this particular passage, God chooses the weak things or the of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, in reference to herself. And she told this story about a prince. And this prince was known for his using a sword. No enemy had ever defeated him. Well, one time, three men came at him when he had no sword. And at that time, all he could grab was a candlestick. And he fought off the three men with swords with his candlestick. Well, that became how great a swordsman he was when he could use a candlestick. Well, when it says here, you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And why is that? He says that no flesh may glory in his presence. It's when God uses us We are not swords. We're like the candlestick. We are, when we're meek in our eyes, when we understand who we are, then God gets more glory. And that's part of what being meek is about, realizing God deserves the glory in our lives. Meekness gains us the earth with God's blessing. Blessed are the meek, Jesus says. Way here at the end of the sermon almost, I'm finally getting to this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, some will say, Pastor, that's not true. It's the bold, the ones that grab things, that get ahead, and they're the ones that are on top, and the meek get pushed down. And you can look around and you can see that 90% of the time that's the case. The meek are pushed down, pushed away. It's the bold. It's sometimes the people who do things that are illegal. They break the law. They break the rules. They get on top. Well, what does it mean then that the meek shall inherit the earth? Well, it means that we have it with God's blessing. Even if somebody pushes us out of the way and gets ahead because supposedly they are bolder or they're willing to break some rules that we would not be willing to break, the meek still inherit the earth. How's that? Well, God, in His providence, gives us whatever we have with His blessing while they have whatever they have with all the curses of God on them. There's nothing beneficial. They may seem to get ahead. They may seem to have all the applause. And yet they're behind in God's eyes. The ungodly lie, cheat, and steal to get ahead. And often they do. But Jesus says about them, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? They don't have any of it with the blessing of God. The meek man or woman has whatever they have with God's blessing. And that's why it says in Proverbs 15:16 and 16:8, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Why? Because it's truly yours with God's blessing. Same with the other Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. If what we gain, the little we have, is with righteousness, with us being honest and true and good and humble and meek, if we have it that way, and yet somebody else gains so much more by wickedness, by cheating, by lying here or there, God sees and God knows. There's one thing, last point, one thing we are not to be meek about, jumping out of the Beatitudes, which, since I'm only going to do the Sermon on the Mount, at least that's, as far as I know, I'm going to stop at the end of Matthew 7. Sometimes I'll leap out of Matthew 5 through 7. And this is one of those times. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. One thing that Jesus calls us not to be meek about is the kingdom of heaven, that spiritual kingdom. Well, how are we not meek about it? Well, we pray about it. We ask and we seek and we knock. And we work for it, and we study Scripture. And how much Scripture do you read a day? Well, somebody will say, well, read 5 minutes. Well, not why not five, ten minutes? Why not an hour? Why not be extreme in your study of Scripture and in your service for God? This is what it means when it says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, the meek people of this earth, they're meek towards the earth. They're not grabbing, they're not the ones that are the first at 12 midnight on Black Friday grabbing everything they can while they push everybody away. No, they're the ones that on Black Friday or any other day, when they wake up in the middle of the night, as it says in Psalm 1, Psalm 2, their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law they meditate day and night. They are constantly in it. Because why? They have a kingdom that God has said, grab all you want. You know, there's a verse that says, Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And the word drunk and the word filled are the same Greek word. So you could translate it, do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Or you could translate it, do not be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. And what does it mean? It means we can't have too much of the Holy Spirit. We have to ask and seek and knock, and God says He'll give us the Holy Spirit. But He doesn't give the Holy Spirit when we're half-hearted. He says, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God wants us wholehearted. That's why He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your might. And so we're not to be meek about the things of God. We're not to be meek about heaven. We're not to be meek about doing God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These are the things that are most important, and we're not to be meek about them. About the earth and its things, we're to be meek. About heaven, Jesus says, the violent take it by force. Matthew 11:12. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. This verse where Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Father, we are the meek. We are the humble. And Father, help us to be, as you desire, more meek according to your Spirit, as one of the fruits of the Spirit. We pray that you'd have that we would each one of us have that spiritual meekness and grace and humility and gentleness that is what Jesus speaks of. Help us to have that. Help each one of us to develop that. And also help us, Lord, to be violent about the kingdom of heaven and the things of God, the spiritual things that we should be seeking more than anything else. Help us to desire those things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 599, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.